And we're in June, and the Lord put us right back on track. So I'm excited about that. We've been back out on the road now for a little over three weeks. And everywhere we go, everybody's different. And so we go into the churches, and I don't know if everybody's going to shake hands or whatever, but I've got my sanitizer on me here, and I'm, and I may shake a hand, but I'll run out and, you know, do this and all that, like everybody does. You know how it is. But I still note that when I go into a place, and I've got allergies really bad, it's down in my throat. So if I cough, I don't have COVID or anything like that. But I do notice occasionally when I do, it'll part like the Red Sea, people in front of you, you know. But that's just the way we are, you know. We're doing, has this guy got it? You know, I don't want to get it, because they tell us you can't tell if you've got it and all that sort of stuff. So I don't know anybody knows anything really about what it's about. But and while I'm jabbering here, if you'll take your Bible and turn to Isaiah 59, I want to say a special thank you so much for being such a blessing to us. My wife said to me, she said, how are we going to make it if the churches can't make it and support us? While, you know, because we do depend largely on a lot of our, you know, supporting churches, because that motor home and our travels, we're independent Baptists, we're all broke. And, you know, it's hard to make it on just the love offerings. And I said, I don't know, Dee, but we need to be concerned about ourselves. So Dee and I prayerfully decided that when we went into the pandemic, we were going to double all of our giving. And so we just doubled our tithe, doubled our missions and our giving to Victory. And while every few days somebody was knocking on the door saying, oh, somebody sent you another check, somebody did this. And I actually have gained weight during that pandemic. And every few minutes is a new ding dong chocolate cake or something, you know. I just can't sit around. But anyway, you're the same way, I'm sure. But enough there. I'm meddling now, so I better stop. But thank you. I really do mean that. I mean that very, very much, because it would have really torpedoed us. But now we're back on the road again, and we're excited about it. Going to be in several states up here and all. But I'm going to be reading this morning in Isaiah 59, some familiar verses, and let's let the Word of God saturate us to the focus of the subject this morning. Isaiah 59, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, and tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity, and speak lies. They conceive mischief, and my Bible here smudged on that part of it. I beg your pardon on that. I can't see what it says. Got to get some stronger glasses. Yeah, what does it say there? Bring forth iniquity. Okay, I'm smudged from all the oil in my hand on the bottom. Verse 6, their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are the works of iniquity, and the acts of violence is in their hands. Now you think about this. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction are in their paths. Web peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither does justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity; for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We're in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears and mourn like sore doves. We look for judgment, there's none, and for salvation, but it's far from us. Verse 14, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he wondered that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his own arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with a zeal as a cloak. Verse 19. So shall they that fear thy name, the name of the Lord from the west, his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Heavenly Father, for all of us preachers, we've got those favorite sugar sticks that we would prefer to pull out at times and wax eloquently. And this morning, my heart is wanting to latch itself to some scripture that is beyond really, I guess, somewhat of total focus on the printing of the Bible, though we'll see here how important it is. I do pray today every need will be met, and today will be a watering place in the house of God for those of us that are scratching our heads and saying, where's justice in our country? What is going to happen? What are we going to do as we see the foundations, it looks like, being destroyed around us? Thus, what can we do? So, Lord, give us insight. Encourage our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. America, when we look around us today, we're watching a nation being turned into hell because it's forgotten God. If you want to know what that looks like, according to Psalm 9:17, that's where we're rapidly heading as a country. And this week after it's ended, I'm sure, I don't know what your week has been like, but after a couple months of being locked up in a pandemic, the devil successfully instilled fear in so many hearts around the country, economically, spiritually, and then we're able to go out almost sneaking out, wondering if we're going to get around somebody, and this fear is around us, even to take a stand when we say, hey, you should not be doing that. It's as though something has overcome our country that's beyond our understanding. We're almost like groping for that wall, as this writer said, and seem to say, well, where are the Lord God? Where's the Lord God of Elijah? And where's the voices? And it's like we no longer have that national voice of fundamentalism to speak and to pull us back. Or even in Christian realms, they're basically passed on, and we find ourselves, well, somebody going to give us some insight here? And perhaps this is the Lord's doing in all of that to get us to focus, lifting up our eyes into the hills from whence cometh our help. Yeah. And I don't know where you stand, and this is not going to be my soapbox for the day. I'm born in the South, raised in the South. I know you can't tell it by my language. But anyway, we all have our views about that, and I'm not going to get into all those sort of things. But I praise God for my heritage, as I'm sure you do. I was raised not far away from Shiloh Battlefield, and my parents always took us there several times in our lives, maybe once a year even. And I remember as a kid being there and being on the south side of things, looking at where the war was fought. And I remember distinctly, I can take you right to the place, a giant monument on the southern side of Indiana soldiers that fought and died for the South. And also, for Ohio. And I said to my dad as a young boy, what meaneth this, basically? And Dad said, they fought on this side. And I didn't quite understand that. So it's not about drawing lines here, but I am greatly concerned when we see our country today. You know, this week they enacted an initiative to want to basically tear down the Civil War monuments and even vandalize the graves of the Civil War heroes. It's like when I was coming up into Indiana yesterday, I told my wife, I said, isn't this a beautiful state? And I was looking at the fields and all, and I told my wife, I said, I'm a Southerner, but I love every state I go into. I love America. I love this country. I love our people. And it's not about North and South unless it's football and SEC reigns, amen. But anyway, well, that's enough of that. But, and that's the most we usually make out of a sporting, deal like the guns are drawn or something. But we're Americans, praise the Lord for that. But I thank God for my Bible. And once again, it shows me the moorings of what brings us all back to real truth, though it's fallen in the streets. And my Bible reminds me how much everybody needs the same freedom that I get in liberty from the Bible. And in my Bible, I am often given testimonies and principles and statutes and promises and things of the sort. But every now and then, it's like a giant billboard. God will stick on the side of life's journey, on the side of the road or wherever they're in Scripture, a sacred reminder. And with that reminder, it'll be like, hey, I almost forgot about that. Well, that's good. And so I want to talk to you about one of those this morning, and it's found in verse number 19. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Notice first the adversary. He is called the enemy. And surely we Christians know him now by his true name. He is the devil. He is a great red dragon. He is Apollyon. He is the destroyer. He is a thief. He is a liar. He is a murderer. He is Lucifer. He is Satan. He is the wicked one, the man of sin. The adversary is always about adversarial work. And that work is against the work of God and against the child of God. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. This devil walketh about seeking always whom he may devour. He hates you. He hates your family. He hates your life. He hates your soul. And he hates his country and all the good that's found in it. The psalmist said, "Oh God, how long shall the adversary reproach? Shall the enemy blaspheme thy name forever?" And the answer to that question is, yes, he will. Like Hannah of old, when Penani caused her to fret and provoked her constantly, the devil is an adversary, is always working against you and I. And though you may say it's not, it's my friend, or it's my spouse, or it's my boss, or it's my neighbor, or it's somebody I go to church with, I want to remind you that your enemy is old Slewfoot himself, the devil. You wrestle not with flesh and blood. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. And so our adversary is clearly mentioned here as being the enemy. Notice, second of all, the attack. He comes in like a flood. This is a simile of comparison, like. He comes from all directions. He comes in an overwhelming way. Like Satan has been storing up reservoirs of wrath, reservoirs of allies, reservoirs of power, waiting for that crack in the dam, waiting for the dam to be opened, to go against man's resolve to want to do right. The adversary, his attack, shall come in like a flood. Now, the truest sense of the context of this verse here, is one talking about the enemy coming in prophetically. You cannot deny that the following verse talks about the Redeemer coming to Zion, talking about when God in Christ will set up His millennial kingdom ultimately. But we know, prophetically speaking, that the wicked one day shall be revealed, and the Lord will consume him with the spirit of His brightness. Many Old Testament commentators that you read will state that the clearest context of this verse describes the political future of the end times, when Satan will be given a license to fully kill, steal, and destroy during the tribulation time in an untethered way. It also leads up to that time of rapture of the end times when the enemy comes in like a flood. This verse is prophetically speaking what God will do. He will lift up a standard against him. And friend, the wheels are coming off in our country. It is rapidly changing in our nation before our very eyes daily. And the enemy is certainly coming like a flood. And I believe we're racing to that moment of the rapture that is soon to come for us as Christians. And I still do believe that Jesus Christ is coming again soon. And when that enemy has fully done all that God wants him to do in these last days, God is going to lift up a standard, and he's going to come and stop in the middle of the air, and he's going to shout with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with the Lord in the air to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. God will lift up that standard, and the rapture will take place. The tribulation will be ushered in, and during that time, those seven seals and seven vials and seven trumpets are blown. And when that takes place, God pours out wrath. The enemy really comes in like a flood. And then at the end of that time, after the 144,000 have lifted up the standard and preached the everlasting gospel of Christ, the real standard comes again, not to stop in the air, but to set his feet down on the Mount of Olives and take control of this world. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. But today in America, there's no doubt he's come in like a flood. And the Bible says to us, woe to them that call evil good and good evil, and put darkness for light and light for darkness, and put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And truth is clearly fallen in our streets. And the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. He'll come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. And then shall he appear, the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven. The Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against them one day. That attack that's mentioned in this verse, in context, is speaking to us prophetically. But may I say to you, I do believe that the enemy also comes in personally. And oh, he will. And oh, he does. And oh, he is. Our foe does seek to work us woe. And he's armed, as the song says, with cruel hate. And as Christians, we're very vulnerable leading up into the rapture. Our triumph is not here yet. We've not entered into the full rest as the believer yet. My ship has not arrived in full safe harbor. Storms must assail us. You and I have not seen the last of our foes, nor fought the last of our giants, because you've been converted, which was your commencement into being a child of God, no doubt. But because you have been converted, you have a target on your back, and you've not been fully yet delivered. Your conflicts are sure, and life is filled and going to be filled with nothing but shock and awe until this thing is all over with. And evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And just as it was in the days of David, when there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David, David waxed stronger and stronger. And it's sad in our day and hour when we Christians are waxing weaker and weaker and crawling into our holes as we're very vulnerable as the devil is walking about, roaring, seeking whom he may devour. And just like a flood, the enemy comes in personally to our lives. And though he's talking about the physical floods, I believe certainly it applies to the spiritual realm. And when it comes to floods, could I say, floods, they come suddenly. And just like in the book of Job, the Bible says, there was a day. And sometimes desolation can come to all of our lives, much like that of a tsunami. It'll overtake us, and even the strongest of saints can be washed away. Rich and poor, it matters not. Floods are no respect of persons to people. They come. The Bible describes for us in Matthew chapter number 7, two men that built their house. One on the sand and one on the rock. And the Bible said, and the rain descended and the floods, they came. And the winds blew. And it doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter if you try or you don't try. You are going to find floods. It'll come suddenly into your life. And suddenly they'll burst into your life in a way, maybe with a phone call or a doctor's report or something will happen. And just like a flood, when it overtakes an area, homes are destroyed, cattle is killed, houses are washed away, old and young can find themselves dying in a watery grave. Floods have no compassions. There's no way to be spared from the destruction of sometimes it catching up with all of us. And sometimes suddenly they come. Years ago, my wife and I, our life was changed in a way we never knew it would be. A little over 10 years ago, we was at the Gospel Light Baptist Church in Arkansas, and Wednesday night service, my wife sang, and boy, the power of God was on her and our son. And We wouldn't sit down. She just wouldn't sit down. We got a phone call, and her daddy had had a stroke in the pulpit. Changed our family and life in a million ways. Can't even find the time to tell you all the ways. Just like that, a flood broke through. Maybe this morning you can tell the story somewhat the same. How that all of a sudden it just changed something in your life. It was a watershed moment that suddenly a flood came into your life. Can I tell you, floods just don't come suddenly, but they come surely. In all the arenas of our life, did you notice here he said, when the enemy shall come in like a flood? He didn't say, if the enemy comes in like a flood. And be not deceived, it's not an if situation, it's really just a when situation. And friend, you and I both know that surely it's going to happen sooner or later something. And I'm not trying to be all dark and dismal today, but I hope the darkness of this will be a backdrop to the light of what this billboard, this sacred reminder says today. When that enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against it. No matter how strong you are, even the strongest of swimmers can be taken away by a flood. You and I are weak as a paraplegic. We're much like frail as dust. We're unstable as water. We're like a bird with a broken wing. We're like a child trying to withstand an army. When a flood comes to our life, there's no way to stop it. But the Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Hallelujah. This has always been the way God works. He always comes to the aid of His people. Even when we've sinned, He's the greatest to take the bleakest side of the mountain. When we've opened the floodgates of evil for our household and ourselves, He who wooed us to Christ in the person of the Holy Spirit has a wonderful way of giving us hope. Beware of forgetting the friendship that you have with this darling person called the Holy Spirit, because He's called the Spirit of the Lord. Cultivate that relationship with Him. Be affectionate toward Him. Remind Him how much you depend on Him. You have no help. You have no comfort. You have no ability to stand when those floods surely come into your life, except the Spirit of the Lord lift up a standard against Him. Why, floods just don't come surely and suddenly, but they come sorrowfully. In our life, when they come, oh, it feels like the world has come to an end. You know, your sin sometimes is what brings us so low. I don't know where you are as a sinner, but I'm the cheapness of them. And I felt like by the time I got to be 62, which I am, that I would have mastered the flesh a little bit better. But my flesh is weak. In my flesh dwells no good thing. And sorrow comes with the floods. Sorrows of death, the psalmist said, compassed me about, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. Look around us today, we get fearful of what we see happening. And the enemy has come along and he said to the Christian, you're no good. You cannot be used anymore. God does not love you. God does not care for you. Do you know that floods and trials, they can talk to us? The Bible says in Psalm 93, the floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The flood lift up their waves. And the same way an angry flood can roar and make noise and cause terror and fear, your troubles and mine and our hardships and our heartaches can cause us to want to shrink without any faith and without boldness when these things come upon us in our life. And I don't know about you, but I look around in our country and I see what's taking place, and there's no doubt that the enemy has come in like a flood. And the economical situation in our country and the spiritual condition of our country is so grave. We've been veneered for so long that we're one thing, and we're finding out as God is shaking all things that can be shaken, that those things that cannot be shaken may remain. And He's showing us where our true allegiances are and where our true faith is at and where our true standards are at. And He's also showing us we can't do nothing about it anymore. Because we often have thought we'll throw a little money at it, we'll use a little ingenuity, we'll get another degree, we'll do a little more schooling, and maybe we can work ourselves out of this jam. But I fear and believe that God is wanting us to see there is a flood that's come to this world. It don't matter how young you are, it don't matter how old you are. Noah was 600 years when the years old when the flood came into his life. I mean, they're going to come. And when those temptations do come, it'll make you feel like you're broken and you cannot conquer and overcome anymore. Maybe you sit here today and you're financially broke and you do not see a lot of light in everything that's taking place. Can I tell you something? This is the victory that overcometh our world, even our faith. God has given you something that'll help you to withstand the test of time. And it's through faith we understand as believers. And through faith we please God and we're able to stand. Oh, I'm so thankful that I have this energy. I have this thing that God has deposited in my life called faith. That when I'm backed in a corner and I don't see any way out and the enemies come in like the flood, the Spirit of the Lord inside of my soul says, rise up, awake, God is still alive. And you're going to make it through this when it's all over with. Because God is God. When doubts assail you and the floods wash away your dreams and the floods wash away your stability and all the world says there is no God anymore. We'll do what we want. We'll kill what we want. We'll pillage what we want. We'll write where we want to. We'll never give an account for what we do. Oh, I'm here to remind you today, and may the Spirit of God take my tongue and lift up that standard against you again. There is an accounting with Almighty God. Vengeance is the Lord's, and He will take and recompense to those to whom it is to come to. And certainly, certainly, we are under the attack. There's enemy has come against our nation. It's come against our homes. It's come against everything that we stand for, even within the church realm. It's come and attacked. But the Spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against it. I think it's so important that we acknowledge this as believers. I have something in me that has changed my life back in 1981, and it's called the new birth. And it's called the Spirit of the living God. And it's called the Word of God that's in my bones and it burns like a burning fire and it's shut up in my bones and I cannot refrain. And there's something in me when I have trickled down and I flicker to nothing that even looks like a flame anymore that God blows on and all of a sudden rises up in me and backbone comes again and strength comes again and faith comes again and it's nothing but the Holy Spirit of God that has brought this into my life. Our confidence comes in the fact when we acknowledge the fact that God is with us. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence which hath great recompense and reward. Forget not the times, believer, that you felt like you had no strength to go on. Do you recall those times that you were just about the place you were going to throw in the towel and you were going to quit and you felt like you'd been washed ashore? And you felt like no one understood and you was finally done and it was over with. And then suddenly something comforted you. And suddenly something reminded you it was not worth it to quit. And that holy dove of God began to lift up that standard in your heart and you begin to breathe again and stand again and give utterance again and you found that which was in you was both to will and to do of your good pleasure, that it was God that had worked those things in your life to make that so. Oh, can I remind you of the confidence that you do not need to cast away and expect to see God at His best when it's all said and done? Friend, I'm the biggest pessimist in the world. I guarantee you in this room there's not a bigger pessimist than me. I seem to always take the lower road. Well, I don't know if that's good. I'm the first to be there to do that. But I'm here to tell you today, and when I look around and I see our nation crumbling and the things that I've held dear all of my life to being so true and so important to us being a nation under God, I scratch my head and I say at the whim, We've shut our churches down and we've stopped our ministries and we cannot go here. And they tell us to do this and we're all jumping through all these hoops. And it's all of a sudden like we've got these shackles around us. I don't know about you, but there's something in me that rises up and says, I don't want a civil war, but bless God, there's something that says that God is going to work all this stuff out somehow. And I do believe for our nation that God is somehow going to turn so many things around that we never did believe He could do. Do not give up hope on America. I know we're not worth shooting sometime. I know the pornography runs like rivers and the liquor and the vileness and the sin. And I know if God gave us what we deserved, it'd been over a long time ago. But I'm here to tell you something that I do believe that God has got God-fearing people that still can pray and still can get a hold of God and still want to do right and still want to raise their kids right. And God still, I believe, has some hope that He wants to instill in America. In fact, I believe I can prove to you with the Bible, and I don't have time, but in another message, I believe that America will be the eagle that protects Israel during the tribulation, and the rapture's not happened, and we're not in the tribulation yet. And though I believe America will be the Babylon be destroyed one day, we've still got some time yet for God to do something, friend. Armageddon's not going to happen tomorrow, I can assure you. At best, it could happen only 7 years from the day the rapture happened. So we've still got some time to repent and to get right and to watch God do some things. The enemy, he'll come in like a flood, but we need to acknowledge the Lord will lift up a standard. He's the one that's called us. He's the Holy One. He's the Paraclete. In the Old Testament days of fighting the battles, a standard was what the flag bearer took into the battle. We independent Baptists often talk about, bless God, I got these standards. And we kind of spring from what we believe we can do or can't do. But a real standard in the Bible and in history was carried by a standard bearer. And he went out into the battle, and when the battle got on and the troops would wane or start dying, he would lift it up higher. And they would see that banner that represented their country. Like we would do a flag, hopefully. I saw a picture the other day of a fellow standing on a flag and he was surrounded by Antifa. And he said something like, what do you think about that? And I said, I'm going to tell you what, if I was standing there, you wouldn't be standing on that flag. But they would lift it up and people would take heart and get strong through the standard. Friend, I want to remind you that our standard is the blood-stained banner of that cross. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ that died on it. And when I take this Bible and I lift it up, I want to remind you that heaven and earth shall pass away, but not one word shall pass from the law to all this be fulfilled. This is the word of the living God, and God is going to have the final say-so. God is in control, and all things still work together for good to them that love God. God is still doing something. This book is still true. They're not going to do away with this book, and they're not going to do away with God because He's not going to be dethroned or debunked. He's still going to have His way. That's the standard. And yet, when He comes in like a flood, hopefully we preachers and we Christians will continue to lift up that standard. If you gain any strength today, it's only because a man of flesh is lifting up a standard to remind you, hey, we're on God's side. And if God be for us, who can be against us? We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We're able ministers of the New Testament. God has given us the victory. Now thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not ready to say I'm defeated. And I'm not ready to say it's all over with. And I'm not ready to say, Satan, take it all. I'm done with all this. I still think there's a God that is able to do something in our behalf. May the Spirit of God lift up that standard against him. I love history. And years ago, during the Roman era, it was about 9 B.C. or A.D. after Christ had died, the Romans went into a forest against what were called then the Germanians. It was before Germany even was started. As a matter of fact, because the Germanians won this battle, Germany started as a result of it. And it was a battle that the Romans fought in the forest. It was called the Battle of, and I hope I'm saying it right, Teutoburg Forest. And in that forest, a small group of Germanians wiped out 3 legions of the Roman army. in that forest. But in that forest, the Romans had a standard bearer. It was a gold emblem with an eagle on it. And every time they'd almost be defeated, they'd raise it up and they would get stronger and they'd fight. But eventually they were defeated. And that standard bearer's body was lost and the standard bearer was lost. And for 20 years, history tells us, that the Roman government, because they put so much stock in that standard, for 20 years they searched those forests trying to find that standard that they had once followed. They never found it. And I fear in these last days, we got people looking for some absolute to follow, and they'll run over here, or they're looking for a standard over here to chase. And let's stay focused on where our moorings are. It's our local churches. It's our Bible. It's our faith in Christ Jesus. It's the Word of God. Do right, as old Bob Jones used to say, till the stars fall. And in doing so, watch God vindicate and bless. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. What a sacred reminder. Gives me great encouragement in the day and hour in which we live. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll use this message today as I have prayed before the services and prayed during the services, and I pray so now, that you would let this be a lifeline thrown out to somebody that's maybe drowning in a flood, struggling to get through, overwhelmed by waters. Lord, you are the one that said, when thou passes through the waters, I will be with thee. And Lord, certainly the enemy has got us thinking, though we're on our heels, that where's your God now? What's he going to do now? And God, I fully believe you're going to take, as I said, the backdrop of this darkness and prove how marvelous your light is. And I'm not saying I believe we're going to have a revival in our country. I'm not saying that I believe that everything's going to turn out the way we think it ought to, but I know it'll turn out the way you want it to turn out. And I know in you, I can have hope. God is our refuge and strength, the present help in time of trouble. And though the mountains be removed and earth be carried into the sea, there is a river. And today may we drink of it. Today in God's house may we find the hope and the pleasure and the faith again that we can have by being in your will. And Lord, I do pray for my children, my grandchildren. I pray for our churches. God, help us as Christians to have faith. If we're going to please you, we've got to have it. God, make us strong through this. Help us to be the cheerers that lift up the standard. Help us to be the ones that don't take the pessimistic route, as I often do. Help us to keep lifting it up and say, it's going to be fine. God's going to get the victory through this. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's